is from the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offerings, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden.
Father, now we open our ears once again in a different way. We pray for Keith as he brings the words that you've given to him this week. We pray that we would hear those words, the ones that are meant for us, the ones that are meant for our hearts, those nuggets that will convict us, those nuggets that will help us to grow in your love and grace. Father, we are indeed in your presence. So we pray that we would feel that in a deeper level. And again, we lift up Keith to you. Speak through him to us. May we be receptive to what you have for us to hear. Again, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that meets us in this place. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. For those who are visiting, I am in the middle of a series going through the first 11 chapters of Genesis, and today we've come to what I would entitle the message Religion 101, Genesis chapter 4. I never forget, and I'm sure Mark will never forget, the day when she gave birth to our firstborn daughter, and Rebecca, and just the thrill after the pain, well, pain for Mark, but the absolute thrill of holding your little child in your arms and it's yours. It's your baby. It's just an amazing experience. And I imagine that with Adam and Eve, having been created in the image of God and then we saw in chapter 3, having fallen and turned away and rebelled against God and been thrown out of the garden, they were then told right back in chapter 1 when God created them to multiply and fill the earth. And here's their firstborn, a little boy whose name was Cain. This chapter, chapter 4, with the story of Cain and Abel, actually it connects the dots between the first three chapters of Genesis and the whole of the rest of God's revelation through God's word. It helps us to understand the story and the narrative that is there in Scripture. And it centers not on Cain and Abel, but on Cain himself. The whole story of chapter 4 is really centered on Cain. So, having been cast out of the garden, and Cain knew that, Cain decides on his own way back to God, his own way of coming back and seeking to worship and be accepted before God. And in that way, he represents all man-made religion down through history. Both Cain and Abel had the same parents, they had the same knowledge of the truth, and they had the same opportunity of access to God. But for Cain, he chose something other than what God had revealed, as we'll see a little later in this message. And so it begins, what you see in Scripture is two streams of humanity, two, if you like, branches of civilization. You have those who are God-fearing and follow God's way and God's word, and those who develop all sorts of religions down through history. Even Romans 1 refers to that, when they turned away from God, they became futile in their thinking and their minds were darkened, and so on. It leads on to all sorts of religious beliefs. Today in the 21st century, we are a civilized group of nations around the world, and there's been major progress in technology and in all sorts of ways, yet we still have genocides and terrorism, wars and mass murders, millions oppressed and starving, often in the name of or in aligned to religion. The Christchurch Mosque. How sad, how tragic, how awful of some idiot going in there and killing people in the name of religion. Well, far right, extreme religion. And as I put up on our own Facebook profile, that right today, in the last few months, there's been hundreds killed in northern Nigeria, and has been for the last 5 or 6 years, but especially in the last 2 years, there's been like over 6,000 people killed in the name of religion. And you can go down through history. It's like that. It's so often like that. And so we need to have a look and say, what is God saying here in this chapter about religion? If you like, religion 101. What do we learn from this passage in the light of the rest of God's word? Don't forget that God's word is truth, as Jesus said. And back at the beginning, you have the truth, but in very small, or if it's like a light, it's a very it's a light that's not very bright, but it's there. It's the same light that you have at the end when it's full bright and focused on Jesus. But that light over the history of the narrative in the book of the Bible, that light becomes greater and greater. More and more is revealed about God, about truth, about righteousness, about humanity and so on, down through till it focuses on Jesus, the revelation of God, completely, and then the teasing out of what happened there in the rest of the New Testament in the life of Jesus and the future events that are coming. So God's revealing all this, and whatever you find in the early chapters is true to the rest of the Scripture. It doesn't say one thing there and then something different later. In fact, as I've shared in previous Sundays, that very often the New Testament refers back to the first three chapters or four chapters of Genesis to validify things that are being said later on. It's all consistent. God never changes. Truth never changes. And so what we find here is really important for us to understand as we are looking at that whole idea of first things first. If you get it right at the Genesis record, it'll show to be right all the way through Scripture. Well, enough about introduction. Now let's look at Cain's religion, if you like. That's the way to look at it, I suppose. Cain's religion. First of all, God's way was known to him. And there's a couple of reasons I believe this. First of all, of course, God had to have revealed it to Cain. Abel knew what to do. He brought the sacrifice that God intended for them to bring. So Cain also must have known. Cain grew up with a very short history. I mean, they didn't really have much to talk about. They didn't have any movies or TVs or radios or anything. They didn't have neighbours. They didn't have another tribe down the road or anything. It was just them. And what do they talk about? I mean, obviously, the story of Adam and Eve and what happened in the garden and the way that God came and clothed them with skins of animals that God had killed and all the story of those events prior to the birth of Cain was known to him. Adam and Eve's sin and its consequences. He knew of God's provision for Adam and Eve, which I just referred to. That when Adam and Eve sinned, they immediately felt shame. They were aware of their guilt. And so what did they do? They took produce or leaves from a tree and they sewed them, put them together to cover up their private parts, where prior to that they were naked and didn't worry about it, as it says in the very chapter. And so their shame and their guilt was covered with their own works that they put together, and God said no. And he took an animal or two and killed them, God did, and took the skin of those animals and fashioned clothing for Adam and Eve. And it says a lot that God would kill an animal to cover the guilt and the shame of Adam and Eve. And Cain knew that. He probably wore skins himself. They didn't go to the shop and buy, you know, a Marty or whatever it might be. What do they call it? Anyway, one of those. He couldn't do that. So here they were, Cain and Abel, with skin. So God showed them that a sacrifice of an animal was necessary to cover them and their shame and their guilt, their nakedness. Now, of course, the full implications of this were not known by them. It's like the light that's very small at the beginning and gets sharper and bigger as it goes through God's word, but it was still there that God had revealed that's the way to cover their nakedness and guilt. By the way, just as an aside, here you have the first family. And it's really on my heart that it's so important that we bring up our families in the way of the Lord. And you have here a young man who has made a choice in life that is contrary to his parents and contrary to God's way. And the implications of that down through the next generation and generations following, right through to the flood, and then with all the wickedness that occurred there prior to the flood, and then on down through history. It tells us a lot about the absolute importance of bringing up our children in the way of the Lord. And you can never guarantee which way they're going to go. It's a choice they have to make, and God's sovereignty is over all of that. But we have huge responsibilities. And as grandparents, we do too, to nudge our children. We can't really say much, but we can nudge them about them following the Lord so their kids would follow the Lord. And when you see children growing up and following the Lord, it's such a thrill and such a blessing, and it's such a challenge and a heartache when they don't. And that's why we need to pray for our families. Of course we do. So the two lines of Cain and Abel, or then Seth, down through history, they continue to the end and on into eternity. So here we have God's way was made known to him, first because he knew God's provision for Adam and Eve, but secondly because of Abel's faith. We read in the Bible that Abel had faith, and because of his faith he offered what he offered. We find it in Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, because God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So God's word makes it really clear. Abel knew what God wanted, and his faith response was to obey God and bring what God required as a sacrifice to be accepted before God by faith. Faith is always tied to God's revelation. What God has revealed, what God has said or revealed in Christ, our response to that word or to that person, Jesus Christ, is either faith or lack of faith. And that faith leads to obedience. It's faith that saves, not obedience, but faith is required in order to be saved and get right with God. And by faith, Abel offered to God the sacrifice that God would accept. And God commended him as righteous. We're declared righteous. Even today, it's exactly the same. Because of our faith in Jesus, God's sacrifice, we are declared righteous. We're not righteous. I'm not anyway. And when we stand before God, the holy God, we are declared righteous. All our sins have not only been forgiven, but God's righteousness has been imputed to us, given to us, to our account, so that we stand before God absolutely righteous by faith in the sacrifice that he's provided. And the third reason why God's way was known to Cain was God's rejection, of course, of Cain's religion. God had regard, it says in verses 4 and 5, God had regard for Abel and his offering, but not for Cain and his offering. In Jude 11, we read about the way of Cain. The way of Cain, the religion of Cain, the mindset of Cain, the lifestyle of Cain, the way of Cain. He had a religion. It was a religion. It was a way to get right with God, a way to please God, a way to have acceptance and approach God. And Abel had a way, had his own religion too. His religion was to follow what God said and take an animal sacrifice in order to be accepted before God. They both had their religion. They were two totally different ways of approaching God. One is a religion, and this is true today. There's only two basic ways of approaching God. There's either the way of works and what I do, and there's the way of faith in what God promises and has done. There's no other alternatives. And all the religions, all of them, other than true Christianity, there's a kind of Christianity that does works, and you've got to do works and you've got to earn your grace and all that kind of stuff, which is not what the Bible teaches. All religions say you have to do something. And they might add in God's merciful or God is gracious, but basically you've got to do it. You've got to do this and do that in order for you to be accepted, to be saved, to get right with God. And the Christian faith, true believing in Jesus, is a faith that is trusting in what God, by his grace, gives us freely. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So every false religion has that in common, that we must do to earn acceptance. And I've seen animists in different countries in the jungles of Brazil and places like that, where they offer up offerings to the kind of God or spirit being that they believe in, and cult religions, and as well as the mainstream religions, and as I would call churchianity, not Christianity, but churchianity, where there are groups or people within the so-called Christian faith who believe that you have to earn your salvation. What is unique about God's truth, back then as it is now, is that God's truth is about grace. Grace is absolutely unique in the whole religious world. True grace. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. God's riches. He gives us eternal life. He gives us everything at Christ's expense. He died for us. It's free. It's a gift. We don't have to earn it. Before, we don't have to earn it afterwards. We are not saved by grace, and then we have to actually live up to that in order to earn that grace afterwards. It's not before or after, it's grace permanent. Cain gave his offering with an expectation that God would favor him and that God would accept him. It's obvious, because then he turned around and got really angry and really downcast because God didn't accept him. That leads to the second point. Not only do we find God's way was known to this man Cain, but God's warning was then ignored by him. God warned him. God said, if you do what is right, then will you not be accepted? You know, you've brought the wrong offering. Okay, go and get the right one. Won't you be accepted? Yeah. But he says, watch out, because sin is crouching at your door. It desires to dominate you, is the idea there. It desires to have you, to take control of you. God's offer, if Cain repented, was you'll be accepted. And all he had to do was just that, saying, oh God, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening, or I was a bit self-willed, yeah, sure, I'll bring an animal. I'll kill an animal and lay it on the altar, and then I'll be accepted. Even if he didn't hear it and didn't understand it, he could still easily come back the right way to God. And that's why God gave him that opportunity. He said, if you do will, won't you be accepted? In Romans chapter 2, it says that every mouth will be stopped on the day of judgment. Every mouth. No one will be able to accuse God. You didn't give me the opportunity to put my faith in Christ. You didn't give me the opportunity to have faith in your grace and your love and mercy. Every mouth will be stopped, and the whole world, it says, will be held accountable to God. In Acts chapter 17, Paul faced a crowd of people from many different religions. He's all these different gods and beliefs around him. And he says in that context, in the past, he talked about their ignorance, God overlooked. But now, he commands everyone everywhere to repent. That's not talking just about repenting from sin. It's talking about repenting from wrong beliefs, wrong religious beliefs. And Paul's word to them in Acts 17 on Areopagus in Athens was to say, you need to turn from your false and wrong beliefs to the true belief. And if you don't, he's the one that's going to judge the world, he goes on to talk about. But Cain refused to repent. I think that's so often the case. You know, when any of us have a belief that is wrong and we're shown that it's wrong, it's so hard, so humbling. In fact, you need to be humble to say, I think I was wrong about that. I need to change my thinking and change my way. That is so hard, because pride gets in the way. And history records, Paul talks about the beginning of religions in Romans chapter 1. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men, who by their wickedness suppress the truth, who push the truth away from themselves in order to live the life they want to live. And he says, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. He's talking about Cain. He's talking about Cain and Cain's family, and down through history, that line, and all down through, which has now spread to the whole world. He says it began with suppressing the truth and becoming darkened in our understanding. So God gave them up to impurity. God gave them up to dishonorable passions, and God gave them up to a debased mind. Those three things are mentioned there in Romans chapter 1. They, the Cain and his descendants, suppressed the truth. So what is the truth? What is truth? Truth corresponds and accurately expresses reality. It's either truth or it's not. Truth is absolute. What is true for all persons. It's true for all times, and it's true in all places. Dr. Rabbi Zacharias says, if truth does not exclude, then no assertion of a truth claim is being made. It just is an opinion that is being stated. If it's truth, then it must exclude non-truth or error or falsehood. Truth, by definition, is contrary to what is false. So tolerance today, because of PC being politically correct and the whole mindset of this nation and of Australia and other places, especially in the Western world, the whole mindset is tolerance. And what is meant, we need to love everyone. And I'm not talking about being angry and hating anyone or anything like that, but tolerating in the sense that we accept all beliefs, pluralism. But anyway, getting back to it, tolerance of all beliefs has become a virtue more important than truth itself. Let me repeat that. Tolerance of other beliefs has become a virtue more important than truth itself. Pluralism is differing and irreconcilable beliefs are existing side by side without conflict. So you believe what you believe and I believe what I believe, and all roads lead to the same place. Do you know all the roads out of Indianapolis lead to Kansas City? Did you know that? So if you want to go to New York, you get on the road and you're heading towards Kansas City, and I come up to you and say, this is not the road to New York. Oh, yes, it is. Well, how do you know? Well, I'm going to be tolerant. I believe it is. All the roads out of Indianapolis do not lead to New York. They lead in different directions. It's only one road, or maybe more than one, but one major road, perhaps, that leads to New York, just to use the illustration. Dr. Rabbi Zacharias took an old fable that I think is Chinese from way back, and he's used it as an illustration. You'll see up there the elephant. And he said that when people are blindfolded and they try to describe an elephant, one of them will say, it's a wall. Now I know what an elephant is, it's a wall. Another person will get hold of the tusk and say, it's a spear. And then somebody else who's blindfolded will also take hold of the trunk, and it's a big snake. And somebody else will get hold of his legs and say, oh, it's a tree. And somebody else will say, oh, no, it's the tail, it's a whip or something like that. And the ears are like a fan. So what, depending on what part of that elephant you are, as a blind person touching, you describe the elephant in that way. And so he's saying a blind man can tell you that it's a tree, but he's wrong. That's what Dr. Zacharias was drawing out of that. That he might say it's a fan or it's a spear, but he's wrong. It's an elephant, which includes all of that. And so we are in a situation where we can look at, through different lenses, through different groups and religions, their view of God and believe something that is partly true but not the whole truth. Christianity is exclusive. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There is no other name under heaven given among men, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. No other name whereby we must be saved. Christianity stands and falls on the person of Jesus Christ. You can have Judaism without Moses, Buddhism without Buddha, Islam without Muhammad, but you cannot have true Christianity without Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to miss the next point and move on to the third one and finish up here because it's so important. God's word went unheeded by Cain, and Cain heard God's word and then his warning. God tried to bring him back to repentance, but he wouldn't come. And so God acts in justice and mercy. Cain went out and killed his brother. He it says, the reason he did was because his deeds were righteous and his own deeds were evil. He was jealous. What would God's reaction be to this man, Cain, killing his brother, the first murder and the second born of Adam and Eve? What would you think his reaction would be? Cain, you're gone, man. You're gone. And God would act in justice and judgment on this man. Well, he did, but not as we would expect. Because in his justice, he also showed mercy. He gave him opportunity. God sought to draw out conviction and confession. He asked him questions. Where is your brother? And what have you done? He's trying, just like God did with Adam and Eve in the garden, asked them questions, where art thou? He's saying the same thing. He's saying, I want you to think about this. He's trying to bring conviction and confession from Cain. He's showing him mercy in that way. And then God's response was, when he refused to repent, he says that the voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. It's crying to God for justice. That's interesting because God hears the cry of every single human being who has been murdered, killed, crying out for justice. God is a God of justice, but he's a God of mercy. And so God, in a merciful way, pronounces a judgment, and he says, you know, you're going to have the very area where you are so gifted in cultivating soil and growing things, you're going to have struggles to even do that. I've cursed that. And by the way, again, like last week I said, curse in the Bible is not like the occultic thing. It is God's judgment. It's the opposite of blessing. So cursed is the ground. Cursed are you in the field and for what you're doing. So he acted in justice, but he gave this man Cain the opportunity right through his lifetime to repent. All he had to do at any time was to come with the right offering. That's all he had to do. The blood of Abel cries out for justice, but we find in the Bible it says that the blood of Jesus cries out that justice has been served. It cries out as well. The blood of Jesus is contrasted here in Hebrews 12, verse 24. You have come to Jesus, the author of Hebrews writes, and says, "You've come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkling of blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel." Or, as the New Living Translation puts it, "You've come to the sprinkling of blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel." Abel's blood was saying, "God of justice, vengeance is necessary. I've been killed unfairly and wrong. It's been a huge wrong by my brother Cain." That was the word to God from that murder, the blood of Abel. But the blood of Jesus speaks of righteous judgment having been once and for all pronounced on the innocent. The Saviour, the Lord from heaven, who bore in his own body our sins on the tree, on the cross. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus is God's mercy and justice combined. God, you know, just think about Cain. If God had fully displayed his justice to Cain, what would have happened to him? He would have been immediately annihilated and he would be eternally in hell. Right at that moment. But where would God's mercy be? And if God fully displayed his mercy to Cain, God would have said, "Oh, yeah, it's all right. I won't kiss him. I won't do anything. You did wrong, but hey, you know, I'll forgive you and you can go on your merry way." But where would God's justice be? God's justice and mercy are both true of God and are both applied to this man and to us. So we are forgiven on the basis of the blood of Jesus, who cleanses us from all sin. And faith in that, as a gift of God's grace, he forgives us. And God's judgment was already poured out on Jesus. When you mess up and you sin and you say, "God, have mercy on me," as a Christian, you should say, "God, be just with me." Because your justice has already been put on Jesus for my sin. And I can claim your justice just as much as I can claim your mercy. Because he died in my place, taking the just punishment for my sin, and he gives eternal life as a free gift of his grace. I know it's 10:02, but I want to tell you a story and finish there, all right? Can I take another 3 minutes, please? Thank you. A few people nodded. I didn't see anyone go like that. So I'm done. I'm right. Okay. See, it says in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seems right to a person, but the end, it leads to death." 40 years ago, on 28th of November 1979, a DC-10 with 237 passengers and 20 crew, and one of those crew lived in the house behind us when we lived in Auckland, New Zealand, in Pakuranga. He was on there as a crew man, one of the crew on that plane. Flew out of Christchurch down as had a special thing where you'd fly over Antarctica and come back to Christchurch, so it was a big loop and you could see Antarctica. So that was the thing. You enjoyed your flight, but basically it was to see something you'd never otherwise see. But it was whiteout, and when in whiteout, the clouds and the snow are the same colour, so you just have to depend on your instruments. And the plane's instruments were a minute degree out. And it slammed into the side of the mountain, Mount Erebus. And everyone was killed. Because It seemed the right path. The pilot thought it was fine and couldn't see that he was going wrong. And they were all killed. We can think we're going in the right way. We've got the right religion. But God has revealed once and for all, it's the blood of an innocent in place of the guilty that is God's way of getting right with God. And that's why we're going to sing our last song, which includes the words of a famous old hymn, "What can wash away my sin?" What? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I will boast in Christ alone, his righteousness, and not my own. I will cling to Christ, my hope. His mercy reigns now and forever. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.